have to tell you, Mary, in that moment, was afraid. That's why the first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid." Okay, she's a teenager. She's getting water. An angel shows up. She's heard, you know, she's a good Jewish girl and has heard about the Messiah coming someday. Still a little scary. New mom fears, what are we going to eat? Who's going to pay the bills? My reputation? How am I going to be a mom? My mom was amazing. How am I going to do that? All that stuff. Mary would have been afraid, but she pushed through it. And that surprise encounter was the beginning of a beautiful journey. My question for you is, what do you need someone or God to do to help dispel fear that you have in your life? It might not be an unplanned pregnancy. It might be something else. No, I just saw Chelsea say, or it might be. Okay. It might be something else. But what do you need? What do you need the Lord to minister to you, either through his word or through someone else, or speak to you or encourage you to dispel some of the fear that you're facing? Just a thought. So this was a surprise encounter for Mary. I love this video. I had an idea what I was going to do a message on, and I had started writing a message, and then I watched this video that Wanda had done, and it was like the exact thing that I'd already written, and I called her in tears, and I'm like, you know what, this is just beautiful, because I really believe God wants to encourage us in this. So, Mary's journey. She had a surprise encounter. I mentioned she would have grown up a good Jew looking for the Messiah somewhere, someday. But she wasn't necessarily looking for an encounter with an angel. How many of you guys can remember your first encounter with God? Thanks, Cletus. Appreciate that. Your first encounter with God. Either the first time you've heard about him on your mother's lap, or being dragged to church maybe against your will, I don't know. But, Bible stories read at home, or an angel appeared to you. That does happen nowadays too. Whatever that is, that encounter in someone's home, at an altar. The first time God asked you to do something unthinkable. Maybe he put a calling on your life, or maybe he highlighted something and you just kind of felt like, oh, wait, I think he might be asking me to do that. Or he started unwrapping a gift in your life that he's going to use to bless other people. Mary's reaction when she had an encounter with God was fear. And the angel said, don't be afraid. And then there's a whole passage there where she just sings as the handmaiden of the Lord and lands on, at the end, surrender and humble submission. Let it be done to me. I am favored. Let it be done to me, Lord, as you've said. I surrender to your will and your way. Our reactions aren't always like that, are they? Well, maybe all of yours are, but mine aren't. When I hear God saying something to me, or I'm reading the word and a passage jumps off scripture, or I wake up in the night where I know Holy Spirit's telling me to pray for someone, or I get a little nudging, maybe I need to make this or do this, or maybe I need to go out of my way to love on this person this way. My reaction is not always, I am the favored one, thank you, Lord, be it as you say. That's not always my reaction. Is it yours? No. Thanks, John. I do want to point out, our reaction at that point, though, of whether the grand spectrum of surrender or God drags us kicking and screaming is going to determine how much we learn. Is it not? Is it not? Like, is God not using everything and every situation in our lives to teach us and to grow us? Right? So when we have an encounter with God, when we know that he's talking to us about something, how we react to that is going to determine how much we get to grow and how much we get to learn. Is that an amen or an ouch? Because it's both, right? Because sometimes that's ouch. Sometimes that costs us, right? But God knows what he's doing. I'm sure there were moments for Mary in the neighborhood. She's not even married. You know, what if they, I thought she was a good girl. Whatever. I'm sure there were moments. I'm sure it cost her tremendously. To walk in obedience is not always an easy thing, but it's always the right thing. Just a thought. I love the short video we just watched because it's a snapshot into Mary looking back over 30 years. She's remembering that first time encounter when the shepherds came and the wonder and the awe of that, and reflecting on what she's noticed over the years, and she's still pondering. I don't hear that word much. Do you guys hear that word much? I always think of this passage when I hear the word ponder because it's not a word used much. Nowadays, anyway. In King James, it says Mary had observed, you know, the shepherds coming. Actually, there's two passages. In Luke chapter 2, in the Christmas story, in verse 19, this was after the shepherds had been there and saying about the angels and all the amazing stuff, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. It says that Mary treasured up, this is the NIV version, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then you actually see later on in Luke chapter 2, the same kind of thing. After they take Jesus to the temple, and Simeon and Anna, declare, oh my goodness, this is the one. This is the one I've been waiting for. God promised me that I would see the Son of God. And Mary, you know, this is her 8-day-old baby boy, and she's like, what? You know, so she treasures those things and ponders them in her heart and watches and wonders and knows that she saw an angel, but not really sure what it all means yet. Okay. As Mary saw Jesus growing, like in the temple, teaching men well past his years, and operating probably in the gift of wisdom at that point. He spent so much time with his father, he was just getting downloads all the time. So God really ministering through Jesus. She watched him. She watched him. She watched his character developing, how he interacted with all of his siblings, how he interacted with people that were treating, taking advantage of him in his carpenter business, maybe. I don't know how he reacted in situations. Mary watched his character developing. She noticed things. Don't all moms do that, though? Come on. My mom used to always say, be sure your sins will find you out. At every possible opportunity, she would use that line. And it's very true. Be sure your sins will find you out, Pam. Okay, did I use that exact phrase with you guys? No, but I remember once. Okay, a little break for a story. I remember once we were in our house in Perth, and it's the upstairs of a split level, and here's our bedroom, and Cameron's in his room, and there's like a wall in between. And I hear him in there. It's early in the morning. He used to wake up super early and come in, and then I'd send him back into bed. And he would be like, his room doubled as the guest room, so he had a double bed in there, and it was very squeaky. And it was very squeaky on purpose. We did not replace that bed, because then it would wake me up if he was sleepwalking or wandering, and then I, like he sometimes would. So he'd go back in his room, and he'd go on his bed. I'm lying in bed, and then I hear him. He's jumping on the bed. He's jumping. He's like 4. He's jumping on the bed, jumping the life out of that bed. He was always a big boy. He's just having a ball in there, and I'm like, Cameron! Stop jumping on the bed. There's this dead silence. How can you see me? Freaked him right out. So I'm like, Andrew, teachable moment. I will always see you. But yeah, it was funny. Dead silence. How can you see me? Oh, yeah. Parenting is lots of fun. But I've been told over and over again now by many experienced grandparents that grandparenting is even more fun, so I'm looking forward to that. Okay. So Mary saw things. She noticed, and I've already referenced Luke 2:19 and 51, where she pondered things in her heart. NIV says she's treasured all of these things in her heart. The Message Bible translates that as holding them dear within herself. It wasn't something she was blabbing about a lot. This is a treasure. I'm not sure what this means right now, but I'm going to hang on to this, and I'm going to pray into this, and I'm going to think about this. And God's going to show me something here. Webster's actually defines pondering as to hold or keep as precious, to value or treasure. So there's a couple implications from that. First of all, that what was said or what happened or what she noticed was actually valuable. It was worth treasuring. It was worth pondering. It was worth hanging on to and thinking about. Whether it's a word, whether it's something in the Word of God or a word of encouragement you get or a prophetic word or a revelation that Holy Spirit drops in your heart one day, there's tremendous value in that. Don't rush past it. How many of you guys have had that happen where you're like, maybe it could just be me, so I'll apologize now if it's just me. But where you have, I haven't even said it yet, and you guys got your hands up, that's great. Where you just, in the Word that morning, something jumps off the page at you, and you're like, oh my goodness, yes. And then all day long, I'm telling everybody about it. Because it is awesome, and it is a rhema word, it is for right now, it is good, and I'm going to live this for the rest of my life. And you know, and then the next day, I don't know, nobody else? God's patient with us. And there's some things he gives us that we treasure a little more. But there's value in every one of those revelations. The second implication of that is that when God does reveal something to us, again, whether it's you reading your word, where it's something you, or if it's something you dig into a connect group, or whether it's a word of encouragement someone gives you here, or Holy Spirit highlighting something as you listen to some of your favorite worship music, or whatever it is, it's valuable. And it's not just for that moment. Right? It's not just for that moment. It's one of the reasons that we try to record some of the things that God says to us as a church in our prayer meetings, or tongues and interpretation, or prophetic words, or gifts the Holy Spirit gives us as a church. Because what God is saying to us as a church right now isn't just for this second, and for this moment, or for this morning. It's about building on what has been, redeeming maybe what didn't go quite right, and it's also about declaring what will be, and what he wants to build on. Thank you, Laura. So in the, I just think of Mary at 30 years, thinking back. I don't know that I understand it, but I know he's a wonderful man. I watch him and I wonder, I'm in awe. Okay, so there's some people in this room that are newer on their Christian walk, maybe, but some of us have been in it for a few years. No? Yeah. Some of us have been doing this for a few years. Right? If you've been doing this more than a few weeks, you should have some stuff that God has shown you. Okay? You should have some stuff. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. My poor husband is the brunt. That's probably not the right word. The receiving end of a lot of the things that I talk about, but or that God has shown me. But I write them. I write some. Or I record some, or I whatever. I can go back to journals that I wrote in years ago and dreams that God had given me, literal dreams that meant things that, you know, I would go to conferences and I would hear things, I'm going, or scriptures or message, whatever it is. If you've been in this racket a while, God has shown himself to you. It may not be an angel showing up saying that you're pregnant by God, okay? That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about God revealing himself to you in your circumstance, in your workplace, in your family, in your marriage, in your quiet time, all the things that he shows you about how amazing he is, how he's wooing you. Again, my favorite word in the universe. God is always wooing us, which blows my mind. I don't understand how he can look at me, who messes up on a regular basis, and say, oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Here's this circumstance. I'm going to work this. Oh, Pam, watch this. Pam, are you ready, Pam? Here we go. You know, like he's always doing things to draw me closer. I don't understand that. How can God love me that much? Okay, some of you guys either have been married a long time or haven't been married, because nobody's following me on this. Anybody wooing anyone in this room at all? Anybody feeling wooed? Woo. Okay. I'm not touching that at all. I'm just leaving that there. Okay, so God is always wooing us. And sometimes the good things that that we are super, super aware of his precedence, because we have warm fuzzies and because he confirms things over and over again through different people. Okay, he does do that. And sometimes he's wooing us through really difficult things. Right? Again, back to if we can push through the fear and really get a grip on what God is doing and surrender to him and be willing to learn, we're going to get a lot more out of different circumstances. Okay, let me get back at it here. So the implications of the practice of pondering that Mary was doing, that what God is showing us is valuable, that we don't want to rush past it, and also that what God is showing us is not just for that moment. Okay? What God reveals to us through working in our lives, through his word, through wise teachers, through prophetic words, isn't just for this moment. Sometimes I don't learn the first time. I was waiting. I had wrote there pause because I knew somebody would say something. Okay. Sometimes I don't learn the first time. You don't either. The lessons that God teaches us and things he reveals to us are all about redeeming the past and preparation for what is next. Not just in our church, in our lives. What God has given you, what revelation he gave you 30 years ago or last week, he wants to use it to reveal his plans and purposes to you for your life, for your family, for your church family, for your city. He really does. He's that good. God chose Mary for a certain task because he knew he could trust her with it. God has chosen you for a certain task because he knows he can trust you with it. So I guess it kind of comes down to, in some ways, is that what you want? Is that what you want? Is that what you really want? Are you thirsty for his desires for your life? I was getting this ready this week, and God put this picture in my head, and it took me a little while to figure out what he was trying to say. So try to follow this with me if you can. As we know God and his character, it empowers us to know how to pray and how to pull on his promises in every situation. Okay? As you get to know God, actually, it's one of my favorite quotes. I've probably used it here many times already. It's a Mother Teresa quote, actually. The more I get to know God, the less I understand him. But the more I get to know God, the more I trust him. I love that. As we know the Lord, he reveals to us his character through different circumstances, through being in his word, through just different ways as we live out our lives. He shows us who he is and how good he is. He reveals himself to us as father, mother, shepherd. Every one of us, there's an infinite number of ways that we encounter God. As we get to know him and his character, it empowers us to know how to pray and how to pull on his promises in every situation. Okay, so I think of Mary at the wedding in Cana. Okay? This is where Jesus performed his first public miracle. If you look at the exchange in Scripture, actually, no, I think I'll read that. Hang on. John 2:6. Just a second, I got to get my bifocals on the right angle here. Yep. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Okay, so here we are in a situation where Mary knows the character of God. She knows what Jesus is capable of. And she put her faith in him and expectation on him, and she actually moved him into action. Can you envision that? Can you, like, Jesus, the wine is all gone. And Jesus is like, "Woman, you know it's not my time yet." And then she's like, "Just do whatever he tells you." Like, it's done. Like, it's done. I'm not sure he would have done that for everyone. But she put an expectation on him. And I just was thinking about that this week and praying about it. I'm thinking, how often in our situations, God shows us things. And as we know the character of God, okay, as we know what his desire is that none perish. His desire is that we come alongside his plans in this region and we all get to be a part of his kingdom advancing. Yes? His desire is not for us to live in pain. His desire... Okay, I could go on and on and on, actually. We could be here a long time. I'll stop there. But as we know his desires and his character, his goodness and his faithfulness, it doesn't just lead us in how to pray. It leads us in how to believe in him, how to expect from him. And how many of you know that as you pray, the promise and the provision, that's when you see things happen? You don't have to pray the problem. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, instead of, "God, help me with this," how about, "God, thank you that you are able to do exceedingly, amazingly above," and I'm misquoting that, but how awesome you are. "Thank you, God, that you have made provision for this," instead of, "Oh, God, help me with this." Very, very different prayer. Actually, let's stop for an interactive moment because I like doing this. Can anyone tell me what some of your favorite promises are that you pray? What's one of your favorite promises that you pray? Go, Jeanette. Good, I'm going to repeat that for the people that are live streaming. The promise that as we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us, or he draws close to us as we draw close to him. Yes, that's good. Mike? That's good. So no matter what the circumstances, God is always up to something good. It's true. Don't just think it, pray it. Cletus? The promise that he never leaves us, he never forsakes us. Yeah. Charles. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. To him, her, whoever. So these promises lead us in how we pray. We can actually move God's hand. That sometimes people start feeling that's a little presumptuous. That's a little presumptuous, isn't it, for me to tell God what to do? Guess what? You're not telling him what to do. He's already told us what he wants to do. We're just aligning our prayers with what he says is true. They work better that way, just so you know. All right. That's good. I'd be taking notes if I was sitting down there. Okay. All right. So can I do that? I'm obviously not Mary. Obviously, you know your God. You know your God. You know his promises. And if you don't, you know what? Come see me. I'll give you a book of promises. I'll point some of them out for you in the Bible. But that is a wonderful quest to get to know God's promises to you. You know your God. You know his promises. You can pull on that deposit. You can actually move the hand of God. As you stand on his character and his word, your expectation of him or your faith moves God into action. He is so good. He is much more willing to act often than we are willing to give him room to move. It blows my mind that he, I hate to say limits himself, because it's not, I mean, God is limitless, but he limits himself in some way. We have to cooperate with what he's doing to see things happen. And I think sometimes he's just waiting for us, so, so patiently waiting for us. How many of you know that God doesn't just show up here on Sunday, that he's with you all the time? The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He dwells in you and wants to work through you to impact your world. That's your mission. Actually, the mission of this church is all of our collective missions together. Is it not? Is it not? Yeah, mission. We can expect him to do great things. So there you've got Mary, who's like boldly pulling on Jesus, saying, he's like, woman, it's not time yet. And she's like, just do it. And he did, okay? She's pretty confident in his character. Then you have the story of the woman at the well. What if you're tired and broken and have baggage and don't have the faith to trust God? The woman at the well came to Jesus expecting absolutely nothing. In fact, she mocked him because he hadn't brought a bucket to get water. Well, how are you going to get water? She didn't come to him expecting anything. And yet, in his goodness and faithfulness and mercy, it was still a divine appointment that changed her life, and she became a missionary in 10 cities, and what, like, she just, God just dramatically transformed her. Two different women, or people, in two very different seasons. Maybe you can relate to one of them, or maybe neither of them, but the question still remains on this journey, are you thirsty? Let's be really real here for a second. Life doesn't always go according to our plan. Is there anybody here who everything has gone according to your plan? Darren, has everything gone according to your plan? No, I got a little smirk there. Okay, no, not at all. We're all on this journey called life, and God in his grace and mercy uses every situation to grow us. Some situations we end up in are a direct result of our choices, let's be honest, and some are situations we had no choice in. But every situation is the same. No, that's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say is God is the same in every situation. And he is at work to redeem and restore. Whether it was something that we chose, whether it was something we didn't choose, he will redeem it. He can't help himself. That is who he is. He will restore. He can't help himself. That is who he is. Okay? Think about that for a minute. So in the middle of tough stuff, health challenges, new seasons in life, changes in relationships, financial difficulties, disappointments with people or disappointments with God, ups, downs, stuff, God is still God. He still comes to us to woo us closer. He still comes to us and surprises us with joy. He still comes to us and says, "Do you see me? I see you. I want more for you. I'm drawing you closer." You know those things that I said to you 10 years ago? I know it's been rough since then, but those things are still true. Grab them. Ponder them. Are you thirsty? Can you see God's hand in the middle of all of it? Sometimes it's easier to see than others. I think there's like two different kinds of reactions or two different kinds of people when there's stuff that happens in our life. It's like, what just happened? Yay, God is so good. Or, what is happening? I thought God was good. Whatever circumstance we face, whatever happens, God doesn't change. He doesn't. So this journey, God surprises Mary. God surprises us with things. There's awe. There's pondering. I believe the journey for her was amazing. I loved this video. It's just been stuck in my head. And I believe that for every one of us on our journey with the Lord, there's a challenge for us to pause and ponder. Whether we've been at this 3 weeks or 30 years. God, what is it that you've taught me? God, what is it that you want? God, how do you want to use me? God, how do you want to redeem this situation, this relationship, whatever this is? How can I be a part of what you're doing? God, not in a begging, pleading way, in a, I trust you, I surrender my way, I want your way, God, that kind of way. So are you looking for an encounter? Have you been surprised by God? Because he is pretty amazing. He will show up in your life. Look for him. Have you looked back over your journey with God and treasured and pondered what God has done? If you have, great, fantastic. But if you haven't, it's okay. I want to challenge you to do that. Spend some time with the Lord and ask him, God, help me remember. Because I want to pray into that. I want to live that out. There's always more. Have you wondered or been thirsty for what he had that is more? Not that he isn't enough, but there's always more for you, for your family, for your church. Amen. For your city. Do you have situations where you need to pull on the promises of God? I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Can you hear me? I want to encourage you to do that. Pull on the promises. And I'm telling you, that sometimes means saying them out loud. Okay? Not just thinking them, not just quietly. But sometimes when things are coming at us, what we need to do is say things out loud. Okay? You need to declare it to the heavenlies. There is a spiritual atmosphere around you all the time. What does yours look like? There's spiritual atmosphere around you all the time. And you actually can declare to the heavenlies what's going on. Oh, my God, he's with me. My God, God, I know that in this situation you have said, you have declared this and this and this. God, today I am feeling like lower than a snake's belly, but I remember that I am adopted, I am appointed, I am chosen. Thank you, Lord, that you have said in your word that there's nothing that's going to come at me, that you haven't already given me everything I need to thrive, to live. Everything we need for life and godliness, he's given to us already. I challenge you to pull on those promises. And I love the last line of that video where it says, 30 years later, after a journey of watching and getting to know Jesus, I am still thirsty, but I've learned where to go to get the water, to find the water. So I want to challenge you today, whether you're new in your journey with the Lord or you've been at it for a while, stay thirsty. Stay thirsty.